Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Both of us said on Justin Herbert, we kept saying, we don't understand the critics. He got better every year. He won the academic Heisman. He was like a four-point biology major. Everybody liked him. And then we watched the Rose Bowl, and we're like, we don't understand the what is everybody? He looks like Trevor Lawrence, like big, strong kid. So he goes to the Chargers, and we're kind of waiting, Tyrod Taylor. And then one day, I turn the television on, and they say, I'm on my couch. And they're like, oh, Justin Herbert's starting. He was given a heads-up 5 minutes ago. And you're like, oh, this is going to be rough. He was fantastic. Patrick Mahomes. He's been evacuated, by the way. He's down in Orange County. He's been evacuated. He's safe. He and his two roommates now are, I imagine, in an apartment somewhere in Orange County. We got fires here in Yorba Linda and in Orange County, and he is joining us, Justin Herbert. Number 6 pick, the Rose Bowl MVP. First of all, I'm glad you're safe. So, great to see you. Take me to, you're playing the Chiefs, and you're probably looking at Patrick Mahomes over there. Well, that guy's unbelievable. And then somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, Justin, you're playing. Was it literally like that?
First off, thanks for having me.
You bet.
Big fan of the show. And it was like that. It honestly, we were going down the sideline. I was ready to get to cheer on the offense. I was saying, let's go, oh, let's go, oh. Coach Lynn comes up to me and says, Justin, you're going in. And I just didn't really know what to say at that time. And then Coach Steichen and Coach Hamilton, offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, they come up to me and I'm like, wow, this is really, really real. I'm going in. I just had to knock this smile off my face. And I was just so excited to get out there. And it was a really cool moment.
Yeah. Like now, and what's interesting is I thought you sailed a ball early. Like that's, but I thought you made a couple of throws up the sideline. And I was thinking to myself, oh, my emotions would be coming out of my heart would come out of my uniform. As you were playing in the first series or two, how did you bring it down? Because obviously, I mean, you got a big arm to begin with. That thing, you got testosterone, emotion going through you like crazy. Were you sitting there thinking, okay, don't overthrow everybody. You're highly emotional. I mean, take me to what it was like.
Oh, that's a great point. I went out there and I was just so excited to be out there. And that first pass to Keenan Allen on the sideline, I threw that about as hard as I could have. And it was probably 5 feet over his head. But after that, I kind of settled down and realized, just go out there, have fun, play your game, and good things will happen.
You know, at Oregon, I kind of felt watching you that, listen, they didn't have a backup ready to be you. And they were kind of playing kind of at a national championship level. So they kind of protected you a little. Then in the Rose Bowl, they're like, okay, kid, go play. So they ran you a lot. And it was interesting because some people, the criticism of you was, well, the offense is conservative. And I'm like, well, I watched the Rose Bowl, and he's running all over the field making Wisconsin guys miss. When people, the critics, were saying, well, Justin, he, I don't know if he has it. Did you hear the critics, TV shows, did you hear it? Did it affect you? What did you think of it?
I think we did a great job at the University of Oregon of shutting all that extra noise out. And that was one of our biggest focuses, was just know what's going on in the building, in the program, and leave it at that. And all the people on the outside, they're not with you when you're lifting at 6 a.m. or at practice. And so we did a great job of just kind of staying in building and listening to our coaches and our teammates and kind of things like that.
You are a quarterback. I think it's in your DNA. You like to air it out. You're not a finesse. You like to air it out. Is it with Anthony Lynn in every start? There's a balance there, Justin. You've got a big-time arm. And sometimes the downside to that is you'll try to squeeze a ball into a space that, like, an average arm guy could not. Is that something you and Anthony talk about? You've got this incredible weapon, but sometimes it becomes a burden because you can make every throw.
All the time. That's one of those things that, because I feel so confident in my arm that sometimes I wait and I'm late over the middle. And it's all about those anticipation throws where, you get it out on the hitch or before the plant. And I think sometimes, I rely on my arm too much. And so that's just part of learning. And Coach Hamilton has done a great job with me of kind of talking that through. And we've worked on that a lot. So I think I've progressed a bunch and I've still got plenty of room to grow.
So this is a real dorky question, but I'm a dorky guy, so I get one. So you were on the field with Tom Brady. I cannot imagine. You're a young guy. You play at Oregon. You're in the NFL. And about an hour later, after Mahomes, you get Tom Brady. Was there ever just a moment when you were like, I'm on a football field with Tom Brady? Like one moment of that?
Pre-game, yeah. I was out there. I was warming up, and I saw him come out on the field, and I just kind of watched him for 5 minutes, just seeing what he was doing, and got so much to learn from the guy, and he's had so much success, and I've always been a big fan of his, so it was really cool to be able to line up across him.
So college to pro, if you were to give advice to a college quarterback, a Trevor Lawrence, a Justin Fields, a Trey Lance, on reading defenses, on the speed of the game, what are one or two, because it's obviously working for you, what are one or two pieces of advice that maybe you got, maybe you didn't, that you would give to young quarterbacks about the transition college to pro?
Yeah, I would say not to overthink things. You have to go out there and you have to play relaxed, and that's where film study and all of those comes in, and being able to watch that throughout the week. But when you get to Sunday, you have to relax out there. You have to go out there and have fun. Trust your instincts and go out there and just rip the ball. And I think that's probably one of the biggest pieces of advice that I've been given.
I always think it's really hard to be a rookie quarterback and play. Joe Burrow, similarly. That quarterback is a leadership position. Now, at Oregon, you were the leader. You'd been there. You'd been accomplished. So guys would listen to you. There's constantly young players. In the NFL, you're like one of the youngest guys in the room, and yet organizations want quarterbacks to lead. Is it different or challenging to be one of the youngest guys and yet the face of a business, a face of an organization?
It's definitely tough, but I think it's a great opportunity. And kind of heading into this year, I knew that that's kind of come. It's going to come with the position. And so being genuine, being myself, going out there and just hanging out with the guys and talking with them, I think that's a great way of getting to know them and being comfortable with them. And I know they can come to me for anything, and just like I can go to them for anything. And, you know, even though I've only been here for a couple of weeks, I feel like we've got a really close locker room, and I'm just really happy to be in this spot.
The two loudest college football stadiums I've ever been in, Gainesville, Florida, the Gators, and Autzen Stadium in Oregon. It's a zoo. It's nuts. You can't hear yourself talk. Now you're playing in empty stadiums. It's got to be weird, right?
It is a little weird, but honestly, I think it might be better. It just kind of seems like practice. And so you go out there and you got two teams playing, but it's just like practice. So you go out there and you execute and you have fun, and you don't really have to worry about all the extra stuff going on around you. But I mean, it would be great with fans, but either way, we're having fun out there.
Listen, you also are in a tough spot. Tyrod Taylor is one of the most respected light guys in the league. He's a total pro. You're the young guy. You come in. That's not easy, Justin. That's a tough, tough spot to be in. Is it okay, the relationship, and you kind of walk in? I mean, this situation, you had a veteran. He was starting. There's an incident. How's that working?
He's been an incredible teammate. He's been awesome in the locker room, and he's one of those guys that I look up to.
Yeah.
So much. And he's always there on the sideline helping out, giving advice. And even when we're watching film together, he's a great guy to have in your locker room, and one of the best guys that I've ever met.
So, by the way, Joy, so Justin, when Justin was a kid, Justin would get in your – was it your dad's car or your grandpa's car?
My grandpa's garage, actually. And he'd just have it playing on the radio.
Yeah, his grandpa really
listens to you.
He likes my show. Thank you very much, Mr. – Yeah, that's why Justin's got a 4-point student. There's all these years of wisdom.
Exactly. We
hey, you're so much fun to watch. I'm so happy for you. Everybody in Oregon is. And good luck, kid. Watching for a long time. Thank you so much, Justin.
Thank you.
This is the Herd Best Of. Coming up next, Terry Bradshaw. Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I actually really like what they're doing in Carolina. I like that college guy. And I think Teddy Bridgewater's closer
nice.
To...
Played well.
He's closer to Drew Brees this morning than he is further apart. He can't throw a deep ball. Chiefs win by a touchdown, but I would take the points in Carolina. I think I like what they're doing there.
What's the points?
About 10 points.
Yeah, because I got the first pick this week, and the first choice
to me was the minute I'm first pick, I saw Kansas City hosting Carolina. And I went, boom, that's me. It'd take me 2 seconds.
By the way, here's an interesting one for you. So the league average right now is 35 throws a game for a quarterback.
Right.
Terry Bradshaw joining us, the Hall of Famer.
Hey, folks. I'm over here adjusting my zipper.
That's okay. Well, the TV audience obviously knows. Your radio audience, Terry Bradshaw, NFL Fox. Mahomes is throwing 30, and he's better than all of them.
Wow.
So it's interesting because Kansas City is clearly saying, listen, we love him, but we don't want him going back to pass 42 times.
Right.
So you played in a different era, but you had Swan and Stallworth and Benny Cunningham.
Right.
What did you throw? How many throws a game did you throw?
You know what, Colin? Someone will have to look this up, but I think 19.
Wow.
I think for my career, 19 was my average, I think.
You were a power running team.
Right. Right. But we ran 65, 70%.
Yeah. But you, like Mahomes, were a home run hitter. You took some strikes down the field.
I would be a Josh Allen today. I came out of Louisiana Tech completing 52% of my passes, maybe. I went into the NFL and retired completing 51.9%. So I was true to my form, as Josh Allen was a 56% guy at Wyoming, and he started out at 70. Now he's getting back to what he is. They're saying he's terrible. Terrible at 56%, but he is that is with the West Coast offense and the way the triangle offense works today, it's 65% is not uncommon if you run the West Coast offense.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about, you're from Pittsburgh, obviously not from there, but that's right. Your four rings. And Eric Mangini came on earlier and he goes, you know, this is weird. Steelers are probably the second biggest brand in the league. They're the only undefeated team.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about them.
Right.
And he's like, he goes, you got to get.
Is it Pittsburgh? Is it because they're Pittsburgh?
Well, I don't know what it is, because they're not. You know what I always like about them? They don't just draft players. They develop them. They're really good about. Terry, a lot of teams just collect talent.
Yeah.
So when you even go back to your days, we got to give, because I've been critical of Tomlin before. Sometimes they're not buttoned up. But boy, I watch them, Terry. They have changed their defense. The Minka Fitzpatrick deal.
They just made the deal from the Jets to get that linebacker.
Avery Williamson.
Yes. Go along like Bush. You know, the other thing about the Pittsburgh drafting department or the scouting was the bunch that was fired in Detroit. Did you know that? I can't think of their name. I apologize. I just studied them the other day. I very seldom look into scouting departments, but they were fired by the Detroit Lions, and both the scout and the general manager ended up going to Pittsburgh.
I think they're Ross.
Kevin, is it Kevin?
Kevin Colbert.
Is that it, Kevin Colbert?
I think they have the best constructed roster in the NFL.
They know what they want, see? If you know what you want and you're working in correlation with what your head coach wants and likes, And then you all three equal need, and you say, here's our needs, here's what fits the Steeler and the Tomlin mold, and then that's the player. And they don't get away from that. And you look at them year in and year out, great defense.
Physical players.
Yes, very physical.
You know, it's interesting because I talked about this. I said, somebody, smart person told me years ago, he said, when you get older and you got more money and power, don't use it. You won't have to. When you have power, people know it. Don't flex. It turns people off, and it'll be avarice. It'll be ego.
That's a good point.
It's an interesting point. Yeah. And Belichick's obviously great, but the more Super Bowls, the more power he has in drafting. Terry, that's the slowest offense in the league. Bill has pushed people away. Sean Payton's great,
right.
But Mickey Loomis runs that draft.
Runs the draft. Correct.
And I look at New England right now, Terry.
With Payton. Now, they didn't do it on his own.
That's right.
But it's not like some of these head coaches that didn't even know who they drafted. The guy in Green Bay, LaFleur,
he
found out they drafted a quarterback in the first round over TV. Now, what does that tell you about Green Bay? What about LaFleur and what he needed to be? Do we not need a wide receiver in Green Bay? Do we not need a linebacker in Green Bay? We got rid of the one we had. So That's to me, is not the way to run a draft.
So, but my point with New England is we have this idea that, you know, they'll go, they'll rebuild, and it'll be easy. You know, my takeaway is not that easy. By the way, Chuck Knoll, when you left, Didn't win as many games. I don't think New England's good offensively. I don't think they're fast. I don't think they have a quarterback. I don't think they have an answer. And I think they're going to win four or five games and not get one of the college guys. Like, so go back. When you left Pittsburgh, you know, the idea is Knowles, and Chuck Knoll was a legend. I'm not saying that. But, boy, a good quarterback lubricates everything. Just a little easy. What were they the last 4 years? When you left the next 4 years, how did Pittsburgh do?
I think they did pretty good.
I think they were okay.
Mark Malone was a quarterback. I remember.
Oh, I remember.
They made the playoffs.
But they weren't winning playoff games.
But they made the playoffs.
All right.
Now, Bill, look, there's a Tom Brady and a Bill Belichick thing going on in New England. And we all suspect, well, Tom wanted to get away. Tom wanted to warm weather. Tom wanted to play. Tom wanted to prove that he was whatever. I don't know if all that's true. That's just us sitting here on television and radio just talking.
Right.
Belichick, on the other hand, he's got a bear covered, and a lot of his guys opted out because of COVID-19 not to play. There's like five really good players, most of them defense. So he has to get a quarterback, and the best one he thought was Cam Newton. I think Cam's probably going to be one and done there.
Yeah, it feels like it.
I think that's probably the way you look at it. And then they have not had to get a quarterback. They've been able to get a Jimmy Garoppolo let's take a shot on Jimmy Garoppolo, okay, out of where? Eastern Illinois, wherever he went.
They've drafted 11 quarterbacks. Yeah. They hit on two.
Okay, let's try Jimmy, and no big pressure. We have Tom. Well, now there's pressure. Now that guy you draft in the second round or possibly move up in the first, he has got to hit. He has got to hit. Otherwise, you're setting your entire team goes back, you know. It's like the Cowboys. They finally hit. Now they haven't signed. Now they lose it. You've got to hit on that quarterback. Now you build around that. Now you can build, and you can't. If I were running a team today, Colin, you know I would do one or two things. I'd build defense, or I'd build offense, and then I'd build the opposite. I'd stay with one side of the ball so I could at least be good on one side of the ball while I put the other side together.
Yeah. Getting the quarterbacks not as easy as people think.
It's impossible.
12 quarterbacks have been drafted in the last three drafts in the first round. Four are hits. There's questions about the other eight. So it's hard.
We are very blessed, and I think all the football fans out there, now that we have Tua, he's going to be a star.
Okay, let's see. We'll see.
He is. No, he is.
All right.
Now, they got to put things right. Kyler Murray, a guy I did not think was going. I mean, Kyler Murray is the shocker of all. Because he's got to sit so deep, they have to. He takes his shotgun, and he drops back. He's 10 yards deep so he can throw the post routes. But, Mike, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's won me over. That head coach, I was listening to you earlier, that head coach is a better head coach in the NFL. In the NFL than he was in college.
Yeah.
It was just shocking. That
almost
that
never happens.
Never happens. So you got him. Then, of course, Mahomes has been there, and you got Allen up in Buffalo. We've got that. We've got the kid Burrows in Cincinnati. Now we got Herbert out here in
Big
Los
arm.
Angeles. I'm telling you, the NFL is blessed right now to have 7, 8, Lamar Jackson.
And,
yeah. 7 or 8 really great. Wilson is still a young guy, but we've got young
players. By the way, and the older guys are playing longer. So the league's in really good hands.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to sound like grunt. I always say this. I never liked Baker out of college. I didn't like Johnny Manziel.
I don't like Baker. I don't like Baker Mayfield.
All right, you don't.
I never did like Baker Mayfield.
How come?
I don't like people like that. Right. I'm a character guy.
Yeah.
And maybe I've never met the man. He may be the most wonderful human being in the world, but his body language and the way he acts, it's a turnoff for me. That's just me. When Cam Newton came out, I didn't like Cam Newton. Yeah. I don't like all that first down Superman.
Okay.
I don't like that stuff.
Either,
that's me.
Okay. So I've said this. So Drew Locke, now he's got a good sense of humor because he heard I said it. So Drew Locke came out last week. He nobody even knows if he can play, and he's dancing after the touchdown. I'm like, win a few games. I didn't like Manziel in college. He was a big. I don't like now. Aaron can get away with Aaron.
Manziel, I couldn't stand either.
I didn't like him.
I don't. You can probably pick up. I don't like guys like that.
Right.
Shut your mouth up.
Okay, now watch this. This playing stuff. Now, Drew Locke. Do we have the bite? Drew was
now,
funny.
Drew Locke. Now I don't know anything about him. He's a kid from Missouri. He's playing in Denver.
He's got a nice arm.
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a baller. And he made fun of me. He's like, well, a coward can't dance. That's why he doesn't. Do we have the sound? All right. So, but the point being is, But I don't love this, and everybody calls me old grumpy guy. It tells me that you lack a little self-awareness. That's right. And you're running a $4 billion franchise. I don't like it. And you don't like it either.
No, look. I don't like it because that's not the way I was raised. I was taught to have ultimate respect for the people you're competing against. Show them great respect and have great humility. Keep your mouth shut. It's hard enough to win.
Is that how your dad said?
Huh?
Your dad was into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that is the way I've grown up. That's the way my girls know that's the way dad feels. You be sweet and kind to people. That doesn't mean you don't go out on the competitive environment or on the field and try to just destroy them. I'm fine with that, but be cool. Be nice.
Yeah,
be
you humble. Were never a big fist pumper.
No. Just do your job. Just do your job. I don't get that, but I understand. Well, I'm trying to make my brand. Well, where's Manziel's brand right now? Got a job doing something, right?
Right.
And Baker Mayfield, you know, just something about him. I don't care anything about him. You know what? I was on Aaron Rodgers a little bit last night.
I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah, I was just like, Aaron Rodgers lost last week to Minnesota, and it was just like, oh, what the hell? Well, we're going to lose this game. But if I was trying to make a point, and I didn't write any notes, and so I went way out in left field. Jimmy Johnson said, I called Jimmy this morning. He said, where were you going with that quarterback thing? And I went, I got to be honest with you, Jimmy. I couldn't even think of a quarterback. So I brought up Burt Jones. Then I talked up Roger Staubach. Then I finally got into Troy Aikman. And then I got into Tom Brady because had Tom Brady been in Green Bay last week, he wouldn't have been sitting over there on the sideline looking at the tablet. He had been screaming and hollering, and that's why he's got six, and that's why he has one.
No.
And that was,
I tend to agree with you on that right there.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you and I agree with.
Yeah.
By the way, throw it out there. We all like Dak, but like and whatever. So Dallas is bad. They're not as bad as the Jets, but they may be close.
I don't know about that.
Okay, so if they are bad. So here's the thing. There's three teams in the league we think are atrocious. Jets, Jags, Cowboys.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so Justin Fields.
Jerry Jones has just got to be throwing up right now.
Would you at least look? Justin Fields, quarterbacks Ohio State. 46 touchdowns, 3 picks. Number one high school kid. I can like Dak.
Yeah.
Don't you have to have a meeting whether or not you move off Dak? If you have the second pick and Dallas may end up there, Terry? I mean, I can like Dak and respect him. This kid is great.
Okay, so you take Justin Fields, and right now, you know, the MO coming out of Texas Tech quarterbacks was what? They didn't fare very well. Right. University of Houston, remember when they were doing the run and gun and all that, and they didn't fare very well in the NFL. Matter of fact, where won the Heisman Trophy? Nothing in the NFL. So you're looking at Ohio State now, and you're looking, okay, name me the last great quarterback that played in the NFL out of Ohio State, if there's ever been one.
So now
you've got the guy in Washington that's, you know.
Dwayne Haskins didn't work.
He didn't work. Is this guy like Haskins? I mean,
he's a better athlete.
Okay.
He runs around.
All right, so you got that situation. I think the best, you know.
Trade
you would have to. You got to look at it, but the question with Dak Prescott is that if in fact he's healthy and he's young, and he will be, okay, he will be. You got to make sure of that, whether or not you sign him to a long-term deal or just franchise him again.
I think I'd franchise him one more time.
Make sure he can play a healthy year. Yeah, that's probably the thing. And then you got the kid down in Clemson, and everyone's going to want him. The Jets going to want him. What are they going to do with Darnold?
Well, I think the Colts.
See, I like Durham. I like that kid.
So do I.
Yeah, and the Jet quarterback. Yeah.
I think, but I think New York doesn't have a brand right now, and in a highly competitive city.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence is hope. They've seen Darnold, and that's what I think they do. I think, by the way,
hope with the Jets or hope with the Giants?
Well, no. Giants will stay on Daniel Jones.
I see. Now, you and I agree to that. I got a lot of people that tell me I'm crazy, but I said, no, I like Daniel. There's a lot we can work with here.
Yeah. With Darnold, you can as well, but the difference is the Jets are poorly run, the Giants aren't, and the Jets will say, you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to solve everything.
I'm not getting news for them there.
It's not.
Yeah.
Terry, they're the only team in the NFL except the Jaguars. You could make an argument they need a player in every unit. All 10. They need a player
everywhere.
They did
some crazy things, and I don't understand a lot of these athletes. Le'Veon Bell was going to be the savior up there for running back. Le'Veon Bell is just dumb as a box of rocks.
Oh, come on.
Number one, he should have stayed in
Pittsburgh. Well, he should have stayed in Pittsburgh.
Stay in Pittsburgh where the offense fits you. They feature you.
They loved you.
You're on your way to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Brown, same thing. Stay in. So you're going to get paid, but what is is $2 or $3 million more when you're making 10 or 12 million more worth more, and then to go someplace and be totally a bust?
I think really? Environment is, unless you're really? LeBron, environment is 75. Like James Harden could score anywhere. James Harden's the best scorer in the world in basketball. Like,
yeah, but he's got the ball in his hand and it's one-on-one. That's basketball. We're talking football.
It's mostly environment.
Yeah.
There's no question.
See, I just think these guys just don't think. And I think all of us old athletes, and that's what I am, we all look at it and go, would I have left Pittsburgh and that incredible bunch of talented players I was playing with so I can make $200,000, making $300,000, I'm going to make $500,000 to go play for Buffalo or or whomever?
Yeah.
Would I do that? No. Why? I got a chance to win a Super Bowl.
I will tell you this, though. If I was a running back, I would think about it. Because my career lasts 5-6 years. Quarterback, I wouldn't.
What? Talking about now or then?
No, I'm thinking right now.
Mm.
A running back's the only position in football on offense that you can't change the violence. You're going to get hit without seeing it. Receivers, tight end. It's the only position you can't protect. Now, linebackers, same thing, collisions. But if I was a running back and I'm sitting there thinking $14 million down in Tampa with no state tax or $9 million here, I think I'd take it. I think as a running back, I'd go. Now, I'm not saying Le'Veon should have because the Jets are poorly run and the Steelers are great. But I get running backs leaving.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay, they leave it for money. They're not leaving for any other reason than money.
Well.
Money. It's money. It's all money driven.
Well, that's okay, though, but a lot of people do stuff for money.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's got to be big money.
Yes.
It can't be just change. It's got to be cash, big cash.
Yeah, no, but running back, I leave for money.
You know, because their careers, running backs in the NFL, everybody always says, well, we got to have a running back. We got this Ezekiel Elliott. And now we're finding out, as all of us know, running backs, the really good running backs, normally have creases to run in.
Yeah.
And then those that don't have creases are really good at vision and feeling and doing the cutback stuff. And then that's it. And then you do a little play action off of them. And you're like, well, you got to have a running game. Then you sign these guys. Then your offensive line's no good. Now, what good does it do to have a running back? Because he can't go anywhere.
Right.
They don't go anywhere. They don't move the line of scrimmage.
The only running back I've seen in my life.
Barry Sanders.
I was going to say Walter Payton. He had Noah Jackson was his best offensive lineman. He had four bad offensive linemen and was unstoppable.
Barry
Sanders was great. Yeah. Do you know Chris Spielman?
It's hard not to talk. When you talk great running backs,
Chris Spielman.
Well, the first one comes to mind is Barry.
Chris Spielman told me when he was a Lion and got drafted, he's the only, you know, Chris Spielman was a great.
Yes.
He was one of the best college players of all time.
Right.
He said, you would, as a linebacker, get in line for the tackling drill and you would count. 1, 2, 3, 4.
He's very,
like,
very.
Go ahead. He goes, you'd never want to tackle him. He said he would humiliate you. He goes, you would count and go, I'm not going to be the third guy because he's the third guy to touch it. He's his only player in my career. It's like I had no interest in practice competing against him.
Yeah, remember the old Oklahoma drill?
That's the drill.
Yeah, where they snap the ball and you go straight through there and you go right or left and you just get plastered.
Yeah,
I can only imagine.
And Spielman was great, and he said, I practice, you would look so bad at practice. It's like I had no.
Well, Barry, make you look. There's a great comedian named Jerry Clower. You ever heard of Jerry Clower? He's a country comedian. Of course not. And he played at Mississippi State and he played defensive tackle. And he played against this great running back who was a lot like Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
And he had a great All American in by him. And he was chasing this running back and he gave out in the fourth quarter. He was exhausted. And Jerry said, You gotta stop chasing him. He'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
And that's like Barry. And then he comes, you know.
Yeah. All right. I'm way late on this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's my fault. We just got touched. 17 minutes.
Oh. I'm through. You gave me 22 minutes last time.
What time do we come back?
No, you said 22.
We come back.
No, I'm not complaining. I've never been on a show where I've got minutes stuck on my head.
Alex, how much do we give Terry? 21 and a half minutes we just gave you.
That's a bull.
That's what they told me.
This is the Herd Best Of. Coming up next, comedian Bill Burr. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Bill Burr is the voice of Boston and America. He's common sense. He's smart. He's a great comedian. He was just in The King of Staten Island. It's now available on digital Blu-ray, and he is joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So let's start with that. What is it about Boston guys and Dana White and Simmons?
Can we start by saying I am not the voice of Boston?
Okay.
I grew up in the suburbs. I'm not as tough as the guys, at least the Boston I remember. I don't know what Boston's like now. I left like 25 years ago.
So yeah.
I am the voice of safe suburban, the safe suburbs.
Okay.
South of Boston.
Okay, that's fair enough. So Joy's got the Joy has the first question because you're in this movie, and Joy has a question for you. I have not seen it yet. My daughter has. Joy has. So what's the question?
So Bill, we have a lot of hair conversations on this show, and you have a pretty glorious mustache in this movie, which is very funny, by the way. Did you grow that? Because that would be very impressive. Or is this a?
Yes, I did.
You grew that mustache.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't shave for a couple of months. Judd Apatow, the great Judd Apatow, said, all right, what are we going to do? You're playing a firefighter. You know, what I learned on the movies, you can't have a beard when you're a firefighter because it's, you know, this, you need the seal for the mask. So we were trying to think, you know, grow the hair out a little bit, do the horseshoe thing. I was like, you know, so then I just said, listen, I think the shaved head's going to look cool. Because I saw what the other people looked like. They all had hair. It would be something different. And then just grew a beard. And hair and makeup sort of were like, what kind of mustache do you want? And I go, all right, I think this guy's probably like an old school guy. So
yeah.
He'll have like more of a – I mean, no firemen really have a mustache, I don't think, like that. So it was a little ridiculous.
It
was a compliment.
By the way, another Boston guy is Dennis Leary. He's another guy with an edge. You know, these guys are all quick. They're now. Let me ask you this: as a Boston.
Yeah. Now Dennis is from real Boston. He's from Charlestown.
Yeah, the fighters.
Which I'm sure is now like all condos and stuff like that. But back in the day, it was like all bank robbers and Dennis and Tony V.
So, as a Boston guy, if Brady goes to Tampa and wins a Super Bowl, would you be bitter?
I absolutely love this question. Because every non-Patriots fan has been asking me this, and I can just really see how much this guy has broken your hearts. It's really a testament to how great he is. I absolutely would not be brokenhearted. He put us on the map. We were a joke. I can't say a total joke because we had Drew Bledsoe and Bill Parcells before them. But, like, you know, we used to play. It looked like a high school football stadium, aluminum seats. He took us to 9 and we won 6. You can't complain. And what I love is if he wins in Tampa, he'll do what a lot of great quarterbacks have never been able to do is go to that next team. You know, Joe Namath with the Rams, Johnny Unitas with Chicago and on and on and on. I'm sorry, with San Diego. If he does this, I think it would be a great thing because I know he's a huge fan of Joe Montana, and Joe Montana went to Kansas City, immediately made them a playoff team, but wasn't able to get them a championship. And if he wins it, I just want to know, what is Jim Irsay and the Colts going to say? How are they going to say he underhandedly beat them this time? So I would absolutely love it. Of course, I'm rooting for the Patriots, but if the Patriots don't make it with Cam Newton, which I think we got as good a chance as anybody, I would love to see Tom Brady go up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, sort of the next guy who's already arrived with his title. I would love to see that that matchup. I mean, I think that would be an incredible Super Bowl. But I am not bitter at all. In the last 20 years, I got to see all four of my sports teams win a championship. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I would have thought I would see the Red Sox win a World Series before I ever saw the Patriots win a Super Bowl. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't even feel like we were even in the league. We just, you know, we just had guys, you know, on work release from prison, plowing the field to give us a field goal. Our fans took the goalpost out of the stadium and got electrocuted on some wires. Somebody stabbed the police horse. We were like banned from Monday Night Football. the razor blade guy buys our team, and then, you know, somebody takes their towel off in front of a woman reporter. We were a joke. It was like it was an S show until obviously Parcells and Drew Bledsoe. I'm not trying to discredit what they did, but like ever since Bob Kraft, I would say this: the three greatest coaching hires ever, Parcells to Pete Carroll to Bill Belichick. I don't know how you top that.
You know, it's funny because there's always a saying in New England: "In Bill we trust." And Bill is got a system, and he's tough, and he would call out Brady. And it's funny because you're an artist, you're a comedian, you're an actor. You need freedom.
Stretching it there, I'll go with that though. But all right.
But you need Judd Apatow's super smart, but Judd gives you the ability and the freedom to kind of, you know, see your way through perhaps what you're doing. Belichick doesn't give you.
He saw the Matt Castle that I was, and he built the offense around me.
But if Tom left Belichick, and there was this sense that Belichick wore his ass out, he was exhausted from it. If you had to pick.
Oh, my God. Are you going to go Real Housewives on me here?
Well, I'm saying.
You weren't in the locker room. You don't know what happened. Who did you talk to?
I'm American.
Some other guy who never played professional sports by the water cooler. You don't know what happened. How about this? How about Tom did everything he could to make the team win? He was constantly deferring money so we could get better players. He's at the end. How about he goes to the sunshine, doesn't deal with the winter at state taxes? He gave us six. I mean, anybody who's upset with that move, you're just a miserable person.
Belichick or Brady, only one can win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. Who would you choose? Where's your loyalty?
I'll tell you, this is how great, how much I love both of them. That's tough. I wouldn't want to make, that's like Sophie's choice. I want Tom to win so bad. I just want to hear how the Colts are going to cry on this one. And all of you guys in sports media, the way you backed out, the way you guys backed all their ridiculous complaining over the years is really shameful. But I also understand that it's a symptom of having a 24-hour news network now. You got to have something to talk about. But to be honest with you, I don't care. I think I would have cared before this pandemic. But at this point, I mean, I'm just happy sports are back. I'd like to see. Obviously, I want to see both of them win again and prove to everybody who said that, you know, the ridiculous statements that Tom, he's a systems quarterback. He can plug anybody in, and people who, you know, just are constantly trying to come at Belichick because they can't figure out what he's doing, saying all kinds of horrible things about him. I hope they both, you know, I hope Tom wins one this year. We won next year. And then I just want to hear what all these just babies, these whiners are going to say. I got to tell you, all those years when Dan Marino's with the Dolphins and they would kick our ass down the Orange Bowl, they would always beat us. Like, I never said anything bad about the – I love Dan Marino. The guy – I mean, I love Derek Jeter. All of those guys broke my sports heart 1,000 times, but I would never sit there and talk negatively about them that they were doing something underhanded. It's like they beat you. You lost by 35. Enough.
Yeah, that's true. So now that you're doing movies and you're a comedian and now you act, and you had a great – we talked during the break. This is smart because I'm not much of an actor guy, although I love movies. And I said, how do you act?
I don't like football, but I love football. All right.
How do you act? Tell me the answer you gave me because I thought this was a really good answer. I said, how do you fake it? How do you pretend after being authentic on a stage for 30 years?
Well, thank you for giving me the nod that I haven't been full of S when I've been on stage. But no, it's just all – I learned from watching a guy, Jeffrey Tambor, is the guy I learned the most from on how to do comedy. When I would watch him on Larry Sanders, what made it funny was he wasn't trying to be funny. He just believed everything that he was saying. And that show was on at the same time I'd first gone down to New York. And I remember – walking up the street on the Upper East Side, and I saw this beginning of a bar fight spilled out onto the street. And there was these two guys squaring off, and I could tell that neither one of them wanted to fight. But neither one could back down because all their friends were watching. So they were terrified. But because I had no skin in the game, when I watched it, it was hilarious to me. But neither one of them were trying to be funny. But they're trying to be like tough when they were actually scared made it funny. And I remember it finally, what Jeffrey Tambor was doing clicked to me when he would be upset on the show about not Hank, his character, not getting the respect he felt he deserved and being this second banana and sort of treated like this buffoon, not only by the public, but by the guys that he worked with. What made it funny was that he cared. He wasn't trying to be funny. He really just wanted to have this respect. And there's this great scene one time when he's yelling at Larry Sanders, and Rip Torn is actually listening on the answering machine. And the look of pain on his face when he discovers that, as he's pouring his heart out to Larry Sanders, that he's still a joke, was absolutely, it was hilarious and heartbreaking all at the same time. So I feel like that's what I learned, and that's what I'm trying to do.
It's such a smart answer, isn't it? It's a really good answer.
Every once in a while, I get lucky, Colin.
So when's the last time you did a stand-up act? Because you can't go inside anymore. When's the last time?
March 10th. I opened for, I did a show with Dean Del Rey, great comic and former frontman for a rock band. And he loves Bon Scott, has like a tattoo of him, killer tattoo right on his side. And he did it was like 40 years since Bon Scott had passed. So he put together this comedy and tribute to Bon Scott AC/DC show. So me, Dean Del Rey, and Mark Maron, going back, I forget who else was on the show. We did stand up first, and then a band came out and with all these heavy hitters like Steve Gorman, Brad Wilk. Of course, I'm naming all the drummers. I'm a drum geek. Just all these amazing players. And we had like the greatest night ever. And then it was just over. I can't wait to get back on stage, though. I can tell you that.
King of Staten Island available. Digital, Blu-ray, DVD, August 25th. So you don't like being called, what did I call you? You're the everyman of Boston. And you were offended by that because you grew up in the burbs.
No, so. You said I spoke for Boston. Yeah. And I'd like to go back there and actually be able to relax at some point, so I can't accept that title.
This is the Herd Best Of. Coming up next, Jeff Pearlman, Jim Gray, PJ Fleck, Max Crosby.